Wow, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, right? All right, I'm excited about today, and thank you, Zach, for all the announcements and taking care of all the things that you do around here, buddy. I appreciate you so much. So, we're going to get into God's Word. You ready? All right, well, I'm ready as well. So let's pray, and let's just get into God's Word. Father, I love you today. I'm so thankful, Lord, for an opportunity to be here with my family and my friends, lifting up your name, glorifying you. And Father, you deserve every ounce of praise we can give you. And God, today I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us in this message. Lord, that your word would bring a revelation to our hearts that we need. And Lord, that you would speak clearly and plainly to those of us that need it spoken to us like that. And Lord, I ask that you would just anoint me to speak your word. Hide me behind your cross. Father, may they see you and your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago, I know I talked to you about scrolling mindlessly. I had to mention that in my message a few weeks ago. And so this week, I just found myself, Shelly wasn't feeling well, and I didn't have a whole lot to do and didn't want to get too far from her. And so I found myself just mindlessly scrolling like I talked about, and I thought, boy, isn't that a hypocrite for you right there? But I do like to get on and watch some hunting shows, and I follow this guy named Jim Shockey. I don't know if anybody knows. Anybody know who Jim Shockey is? Okay, so he has a hunting show on TV and YouTube and all everywhere you look you can see him, and so I like to watch his shows because he hunts everywhere around the world. And matter of fact, when I was scrolling mindlessly, I thought, man, this guy always gets to hunt somewhere. He's always hunting something, and then that question just kind of hit me, and I thought, what if somebody were to describe you with the word always, or me with the word always? What would they say? Would it be like, he's always doing this, or he's always doing that? If they were to describe you or me, what would they say? Would they be saying something like, would they say, well, he's always encouraging, or she's always griping, or always finding fault? Or maybe always finding good, you know? Or what would they say about you? What are you always doing? Would they say, you're always working? You're always on your phone? You're always sharing your faith? What would it be? What would others say that you're always doing? I think that question this morning is one that takes a little bit of consideration before we ask it, or before we answer it, I mean. And so I also think that you and I would probably agree on, in the society that we live in and the culture we live in today, it's a very selfish and self-promoting culture. Would you agree with me on that? This week, I thought, well, I'm going to look up the word self-promotion on Google. I like to Google things every once in a while. And so I thought, what is self-promotion? And you would not believe the thousands and thousands of articles that you can find on self-promotion out there. And I just want to give you three headlines of ones that I came across. And the first one was, The Art of Self-Promotion, 6 Ways to Get Your Work Discovered. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a crazy one there. So I think there's more than 6 ways, right? But then, self-promotion is a skill. Forbes magazine wrote an article called Self-Promotion is a Skill. And then this last one, maybe somebody needs to read it. I don't know who you are. If you are, don't raise your hand. But 40 ways to self-promote without being a jerk, okay? I threw that one in there because I thought that was pretty funny. But there might need to be some, never mind, I'm gonna quit there. So, but self-promotion is becoming more and more popular, isn't it, in our culture today? And when we look around and we think about it, if you were to ask the teenagers around the world today, around the country, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? Did you know what 54% of the teenagers say is a career they want to do? They want to be a celebrity. They want to be a YouTube influencer or a TikTok star, and they feel like they have to have self-promotion so that others can see just how great they are. And so it's caused a shift in the way our kids are growing up and thinking. They just want to be a celebrity. And I think that it's one of those things that, man, what are we teaching our kids? I mean, I think for me and myself that I have to realize the greater good in this world. And what is it? What is it that we're looking for? And I want to talk to us about that just a little bit. So what do we want to be? Have you ever asked yourself that lately? What is it that you want to be? I think for most of us around here, we would say, I want to be the GOAT. I want to be the greatest of all time, right? Whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're a librarian, you want to be the greatest librarian. If you're an engineer, you're the greatest engineer. You just want to be the greatest of all time, don't we? I think that that's it's part of this self-promoting and self-centered culture that we live in, is we want to be the GOAT. And the problem with that is that if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, well then his teaching is totally opposite of a self-centered culture. It's a totally opposite. And so, in fact, Jesus went as far as to say in his word, he says, hey, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be a Christian, then what you're going to have to do first is you need to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. And so, in other words, he's saying that if you want to be great, you don't self-promote. Jesus also said this. He said, the greatest among you will be your servant. Okay, so see, his theology turns everything upside down, doesn't it? And so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you got to understand that we are not called to self-promote, but instead, he's calling us to live a selfless life, denying ourselves and taking on the very nature of a servant. And so in other words, as a Jesus follower, serving is not just something that we do, it's who we are. It's who we are. And I would say it this way, because I tell myself things all the time. I talk to myself, kind of encourage myself a little bit. I have to say it this way. I have to say, look, devil, I am a servant of the Most High God. And whenever I'm serving others, I'm serving Jesus. And so I have to convince myself that serving isn't just what I do, but a servant is who I am. And I believe that it's important for all of us to do that. And so, what are you always doing? If someone were to answer that question about you, what would they say that you're always doing? I want you to keep thinking about that in your mind. As we look at a story in the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 36, we can see this verse, and it shows what this one person is always doing. And I want to look at this really quick. Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Okay, now I'm trying not to laugh because the kid in me wants to come out. Who in their world would name their daughter Dorcas? Okay, come on. Am I the only one here this morning? I mean, you know, it's like naming your boy Sue, right? I mean, whoo, boy, remember that song, Johnny Cash and a boy named Sue? I'm telling my age a lot today, aren't I? I thought about this and this Dorcas, and it kind of made me laugh. So I thought, I got to figure this out. So I studied a little bit more on her. And actually, her name in Greek means gazelle. And she was actually the first woman, the Greek woman, mentioned in the New Testament. And so you look at it, a little bit of her life, and it's kind of neat because they even thought that since her name meant gazelle, that she might be a very beautiful woman. We don't know for sure, but we do know she had a funny name, and we do know that she was always doing. The text tells us, the scripture says, that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Man, I'm telling you, what a description that is about someone. She's always doing good and helping the poor. But what she was actually doing, the Bible says when I was looking at her, is she was a seamstress, and she made clothing, and she would give it to those that were less fortunate. And the Bible said that she also served widows, and everything I could find on her said she served the widows a lot. And so I thought it was very interesting, too, that her ministry was so evidently, it was so important that whenever she died, that God used Peter to raise her from the dead. And when she was raised from the dead, revival broke out in her community and many were saved. And so I thought that was great, because you look at her and what was she always doing? She was always doing good. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Instead of self-promoting herself, she was actually being selfless, using what she had and what she could do to make a difference in other people's lives. Because serving is who she was. She knows who she is. She knows that she's a servant of the Most High God. And so it was easy for her to be a servant. So how do you and I, as Jesus followers, how do we become a faithful servant? You might say to yourself, well, I don't really know that I have any talent, any way that I can make a difference. I'm not very good at much, but I want you to know that you can make a difference. And today, I want to just kind of make it really simple to us, some things that we can do if we want to be a servant of the Most High God. And there's three really simple stories in the Bible that I want to kind of touch on really quick. And I hope that they'll inspire you to serve because of who you are. Not because what you think you should do, but because of who you are. You realize and you know that you are a child and a servant of the Most High God, and so that you have a job to do. And it's hard for us sometimes, or it's easy sometimes for us to lose sight of that, isn't it? And so how do we become a faithful servant? Here's three things that you and I can do to be a faithful servant to the Lord. The first one is you can bring a lunch. All right, so you can bring a lunch. The second thing you can do is you can offer a ride. And the third thing I want to talk about that we can do is you can carry a towel, okay? And so let's start with the lunch. I want to share with you a story from the Old Testament about King David. Everybody know who King David was, right? King David, he was this big war hero, and he became famous whenever he killed Goliath. And when he had come back from battle, fighting a hard battle, he was so admired by all the people in the village that said that the women would go out into the streets and they would sing songs about David as he was returning in from battle. And I thought the other day, and I thought, you know, maybe one of these days when I come home from fighting the battle of preaching, and I'll pull in the driveway and Shelley will be standing there singing me a song. It could happen. It could happen. Probably won't. Don't hold my breath. Okay. Oh, goodness. But I got to get back on track. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people would look at David and they would think that he is great because he was such a war hero, because he was a victor in battle. But I would tell you this morning that I think David was great because he brought a lunch. You think, well, we look through his life and you see all the way David lived his life, whether he was playing the harp for Saul or whether he was just in the background doing what he knew to do that was right. David, he was promoted to be the king, not because he was self-promoting, but just because he was being a servant and he had a servant's heart. And so what do I mean by the lunch with this story? So David, you know, he was the youngest of eight boys. There was a man named Jesse, and he had these eight sons. And his older brothers, David's older brothers, they were off, and they were fighting in the war, or they were preparing to fight in a war. And one day, Jesse comes to David. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17, verse 17 and 18 says this. It says, "One day Jesse said to David, 'Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing.'" So in other words, he's saying, "Hey, David, you know what? This might seem very insignificant for you to take your brothers some food. It's just a very insignificant thing. But one day, David, if you're going to want to fight in the battle, you first have to bring a lunch. You first have to learn what it's like to humble yourself and become a servant." And so you got to be first willing to do those things that seem insignificant. And so what do? Maybe you feel like it's all, but whatever it is, you feel like it's all behind the scenes. But the way you're promoted in the kingdom of God is not by self-promotion, but it's always by serving. And, you know, this week we're doing our servolution thing, and we're all getting geared up to serve. And so if you want to be great, how do you become great? You serve. You serve. And we got a lot of great people in this church that serve. But one of the ways that you can do this is just simply by being obedient and bringing a lunch. Or you can offer a ride. There's another way you can be a servant. And I love this Old Testament story because it's a prophecy that happens about 553 years before the event actually happened. You can imagine, here's Zechariah the prophet, and he's prophesying that one day the king would come riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, this prophecy would have just been like blowing people's minds, because they're going to think that if there's going to be a king come, if the king, the savior of the world, is going to come, surely he's not going to come riding in on a donkey. He's going to come in on this big white stallion with these flowing robes and this big old crown on his head, and everybody's going to be going crazy. If you think about what it would look like today with all the paparazzi and the culture that we're in today, it'd be like Jesus was coming. You'd think that Jesus was going to come in on a stretched limo and paparazzi everywhere, and people going crazy, taking pictures, can't get close enough to him. That's how we would think that he would come. But when you look how he came into Jerusalem on a donkey, we think about that, and today the equivalent of that to me in my mind would be, here comes Jesus on a moped. Just barely, you know what I mean? Surely that's not the king of the world. He's riding a moped. He doesn't have this beautiful Harley or whatever, you know? I mean, we think that he should come in just in this grandeur of motion, but that's not what the way it is, because Jesus also says that he came to serve the world and not to be served. And so he comes riding in on this donkey, and we see in our story that I want to share with you about this is there's this, Jesus is talking to his disciples in Luke chapter 19, and you can read that later, but he's talking to his disciples and he's telling them, hey, I'm going to need a donkey because there's this 553-year-old prophecy that's about to go down and I need my ride. And so he tells them, he says, hey, look, he says, if anyone asks you, you go over and you start untying this donkey. And if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord needs it. And so how can you and I be a servant? Well, we can simply offer a ride just like this man here did, because that's exactly what this man in this story in the New Testament did. And I love the story, and I love a lot about it because, you know, we don't know who this man is. It never gives us his name. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know if he owned one donkey or if he owned 50 or 100. We don't know how many donkeys that he had. But we do know that they went to untie a donkey that had never been ridden, is what it tells us there in Luke chapter 19. And so he says, if anybody comes, he says, just tell them that the Lord needs it. And so I want us to notice that this man, he sees these strangers coming up to his donkey and untying it. Now, I want you to understand that back in this time, if you owned a donkey, it was like you were something. I mean, you were driving around in a G-Wagon, okay? You had it. You had money, and you were doing good. And so, anyways, somebody liked the G-Wagon back there. Okay. And so, this guy, he just looks at these strangers. And most of us would be like, hey, what are you doing with my donkey? That's mine. But he says, hey, what are you doing? And they said, well, the master needs it. The Lord needs it. And he's like, oh, okay. And so I see his heart. You see how he just genuinely, oh, all right, I'll offer him a ride then. If the Lord needs it, here you go. You know, he didn't look at the donkey. He didn't look at him and say, hey, now I didn't know you were wanting my low mileage, never been ridden donkey. You know, this ain't no Eeyore. You know, this is one of the best. He's got good shoes on. You know, he didn't go start telling him that. He was just like, well, if the Lord needs it, he can have it. Whatever I have, Master, he can have it. And so he offered a ride. And I think that that is one of the neatest ways that you and I can make a difference as a servant in this world, is we can bring a lunch, or we can offer a ride, or we can carry a towel. If we want to make a difference, we can carry a towel. And so, to me, this is one of the most powerful pictures in the Bible, in the New Testament, really, to me, when I look at this story that I'm about to share with you. You see, Jesus and his disciples are sitting in the upper room, and they're having the Passover meal. And Jesus has the weight of the world on his shoulders. Can you imagine sitting there with the 12 men that you've poured your life into over the last 3 years? You've went everywhere with these guys. You've been pouring into them, trying to teach them, get them ready for this moment. And you're hoping that, man, all the teaching, everything that I've told them, everything I've showed them, boy, it's going to kick in right now. And Jesus is sitting there in the upper room, and something happens. An argument breaks out. And we see the disciples are starting to argue. And you know what they're arguing about? They want to know who's the goat. Who's the greatest of all time? Who does Jesus love the most? And you know, I've told you this in previous teachings, how I see this in my mind, and I just want to share it with you today. I mean, we see Jesus sitting in the upper room. The weight of the world is on his shoulders. He's thinking, surely I've taught them everything I can. My time is just about up. I hope they've got this. And then an argument breaks out. And I can only imagine Jesus sitting there thinking, oh, man, what have I wasted my time for 3 years with these guys, you know? We're down to the finish line, and now they're wanting to know who's the GOAT, who's the greatest of all times. And when I think about this story and how it might have unfolded, now this is just in my crazy mind of thinking, but I always like to think of it as, you know, they're sitting around the table, and probably John, because he's the one that always talks about himself in second person. He probably is the first one that started the argument. He's probably like, well, hey, you know what? I think that Jesus loves me the most because I'm the one that Jesus loves. And you know, if you read in John, you'll see that he's very like this all the time. I mean, you'll see where he says, "Oh, I'm John, the one that Jesus loved." And so I'm sure that was pretty annoying to a guy like Peter, which was just this burly, rough guy, you know. And I'm sure that Peter gets annoyed whenever John, "Oh, it's me. I'm the one that Jesus loves." And so Peter probably looks at him. He says, "Hey, I'm telling you what, you're not the greatest. I am. You remember when that storm was out there and Jesus came walking? Who's the one that got out of the boat? It was me. It was me. I'm the one that did that." And then I can hear old Bartholomew in the background saying, "Yeah, but you only took 3 steps and then you fell," you know. And they're having this big argument, you know. And I can in my mind, I see them in there arguing, you know. I mean, like me and my brothers used to do. And I can hear them shouting back to Bartholomew, "Ah, hush, Bartholomew. Nobody even knows you're a disciple. You know, they're not going to remember you. There's no way you're going to be the greatest one." And this argument just goes on. And you can read about it, and you can see how they were just speaking, and they wanted to know who the greatest of all times was. And Jesus, with all this weight on him, knows that his death is about to happen. Did you know he knew the kind of death he was going to have? It wasn't no surprise. He wasn't surprised when they said, "Oh, lay down, we're going to crucify you." He wasn't surprised when they put the crown on his head, the thorn in his side. It didn't surprise him. He knew that this was going to happen, but yet he still was willing to serve in this capacity and to lay down his life for us. But Jesus is sitting there, and he sees his disciples, and they're arguing and complaining, and he's like, "Boy, these knuckleheads, they just are not getting it." And so he sees proud hearts and dirty feet. And so Jesus gets up from his seat, and I can only imagine he's not even saying a word. He's probably just thinking, "Man, I'm not even going to waste my breath. I'm just going to have to show these knuckleheads how to be a servant." And so he gets up, and he wraps around a servant's towel. He grabs a bowl of water, and he kneels down before his disciples, gets on his hands and knees, and he begins to wash their feet. And the disciples at this time, they start saying, no, 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 Jesus, not me, not you. You can't wash my feet. Somebody else can, but not you. And so you see these disciples and they're like, oh, Jesus, you're too good to be a servant like this. And if you're here this morning, you don't know what foot washing is. I might just take just a few moments to explain a little bit that back in the Bible days, the reason they washed feet, it was a tradition, is it was just like a natural greeting that we do. Somebody comes to our house, the first thing we do is, hey, come on in, have a seat. Can I get you some water or a Coke? What do you want to drink? And you just kind of make them at home. And that's the way it was with them. Because they traveled everywhere walking, they wore sandals and their feet was dirty. And so they would always wash their guest feet. But it wasn't the master of the house. It was always a servant. And so you'd welcome them in and say, hey, come on in, have a seat, and here's something to drink, and hey, come wash their feet. And you'd have your servant do it. But in this picture of this story, we see Jesus himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy of Holies, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer. We see the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We see the great I Am humble himself and get down on his knees with a towel around his waist and a basin of water and begin to wash his disciples' feet. I think that this is an important thing for us to look at, is how he just washed their feet, because Jesus knew that the greatest among you is never a self-promoter, but it's always a servant. And he was trying to show them with things more than words. He didn't want to just say, hey, guys, be a servant. He led by example, and he showed them by example. You see, Jesus didn't come to be served, but he came to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for all of our sins. So, my question is how do you become the goat, the greatest of all times? My answer to you would be, you bring a lunch, you offer a ride, and you carry a towel. Because serving is not something that we do. A servant is who we are. It's who we are. I'm a servant of the Most High God, and when I serve him or others, I'm serving him. Amen? I'm serving Jesus Christ. And you might say to yourself, how does that even make sense? Well, let me tell you another story in Matthew chapter 25 in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is talking about the end times and all of the people. And he says in there, he says, all people are going to stand before me one day, and one day I'm going to separate them. And he says this, he says, and I'm going to tell the sheep to go to this side, and I'm going to tell the what? The goats to go to this side. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be the greatest of all time. I don't want to be a goat. Because I believe that the Lord is going to separate us from the sheep and the goats, and he's going to look at the goats and he's going to say, look, I never knew you. We didn't have a relationship. You were self-promoting. It was all about you. It wasn't about me, so I don't know you. But then there's going to come that time he's going to look at the sheep, and we're going to be glad that we were sheep, because he's going to look at us and he's going to tell us, he's going to say, hey, welcome into the kingdom that I've prepared for you, my good and faithful servant, right? He's going to say, my servant. And he's going to tell you, he's going to probably say something to you and me, and we're going to be so surprised. He's going to say, you know what? Thank you. And we're probably going to be a little bit surprised. But again, he's going to say, hey, why are you telling me thank you? He's going to say, because when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was sick, you prayed for me. And when I was in the prison, you visited me. You see, the sheep are going to look back and we're probably going to say that, hey, man, I'm glad I'm in, but I don't remember that. I don't remember ever giving you a drink. I don't remember visiting you. I don't remember praying for you. And Jesus is going to say, look, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. You see, when we serve others, we're serving Jesus. We're serving Jesus Christ. So how do you become great? You become great by being less like you and more like him. That's how we become great. And that means that we're all about other people and not about self-promoting, right? We're about other people. And that's what this whole week of Servolution is about. Because serving isn't just something that we do. A servant is who we are. And then you know what? Jesus is going to look at you and I one day, and he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants, my servants." And this morning, before we finish up, I just want to highlight a few of God's faithful servants this morning. If you'll give me just a few moments. Some of these people have never been recognized before. I can't recognize everybody. We got so many people that works in this church, and I am so thankful that we have a serving church. But I just want to highlight just a few today, if you'll give me a little bit of time. I want you to look here. We have Michelle White. Yeah, give it up for her. She probably greeted you. She probably greeted you at the door this morning, gave you a big hug and said, "Love you." She's just so good. And Michelle, I just want to say thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus at that front door. Amen. Here's another one. Here's Jessica Peacock. So Jessica, yeah, give it up for Jessica. Jessica serves on the coffee team out there, and she comes every Sunday just about getting that coffee warmed up and ready and brewed. And I thank you, Jessica, so that everybody can have their coffee and not fall asleep during my message. I think that that's got to have that coffee, don't we? And how about this guy right here, Oki Phillips right there. Give it up for Oki. Yeah. Oki works tirelessly back there in the kitchen on every Sunday, Wednesdays, Fridays, you name it. I can come up on a Tuesday, and sometimes I find Oki in the kitchen back there. Yeah, he's just always the closet. Yeah, he's mainly in the closet. But anyhow, Oki, thank you so much for all you do for everyone here and how you serve us tirelessly. We appreciate you. And how about this one? Last, but not last, but I got one more after this. Kay Altum. Yeah. So those of you that don't know Sister Kay works in the high-octane kids, checking those kids in and out and making sure they stay safe and go to the bathroom and everything. And she's just loving on our kids and being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I just want us to recognize her today and give it up for Miss Kay Alton this morning. And I know, like I said, I can't do everybody. I'd just be up here all day. But I want to do one more. Dennis and Anita Cartwright. You say, yeah. See, Dennis and Anita, they serve on the go team, and they're in here every Sunday morning making sure the chairs are in the place, and they got all the cards and pens and anything they see that needs done, they just get in there and get after it. And I just want to say thank you to them as well. Let's give it up for Dennis and Anita. And for all of you Dream Team workers, all of you that are serving in this church, man, I just want to say thank you for all you do for God's kingdom. And this week, we have a special opportunity of Servolution where we're putting ourselves in the position to have some encounters with people that don't know Jesus. Give us a chance to encounter some people that just need a little assistance, need a little help, and we get to do that for them this week. And I tell you, I'm excited about Servolution. I love it. It's just one of the favorite things that we do around here is Servolution. If you will, stand with me right now. As we think about Servolution this week, and I know the question that I asked you is a little bit general this morning. If somebody were to say, "What are you always doing?" Well, here it is, Servolution Week, and I'd like to ask you this question. This week, if people watched you serve around here, what would they say you're always doing? I'm excited about what God is doing in our hearts and our lives and how he's using us to minister into our community this week. I believe that God looks down this week, and I believe he's going to see you serving. And he's wanting you to know, because sometimes we can serve so mindlessly. We just think we're doing what we're supposed to do or what we were asked to do. I want you to understand this week when you're serving others, you are serving Jesus. When he said, when you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So what you do this week will be just like what you're going to do to Jesus. Amen. So I'm excited. I believe that God's got lots of ways that we're going to get to bless the community. But I want to pray that God would give us opportunities to share the gospel this week. You see, if we give them something like these car seats and all these things like that, that's fine and that's great. Love helping people. But the greatest thing we can give them is Jesus. The greatest thing we can do is give them Jesus. So I want us to have opportunities this week to share him with our community. And so that's what I want our prayer to be this morning. If you're with me this morning, raise your hand and say, Pastor Jack, I want God to show up and show out, not so that Grace Point Church can brag, not so that we can say, look what we did, but we can look and we can say, look what he did. Look what he did. Let's pray. Father, I love you today. I'm so thankful for all your many blessings. I thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that it would just sink into our hearts and our minds. And Father, that it would create in us a heart that wants to be more like you each and every day. Father, help us to become a servant. Help us to know that the greatest is not the one that is self-promoted, but God, it's the servant. Father, today I pray that you would help us to be your servants this week. I pray, Lord, as we serve and as we give and we're your hands and your feet, but God, you'd also cause us to be your eyes and your voice and help us to share your love and your word with them. And God, you're the gift of salvation. God, help us to give that away this week, Father, to thousands of people. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity as we serve you. God, may you be blessed. May your kingdom be glorified and lifted up in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen.